Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Burt Show.
You know when somebody tells you that you're not supposed to do something, the only thing you want to do is that one thing?
Mm-hmm.
I'm having the hardest time keeping our secret today.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not going to bring it up. But man, we got something huge going on later on today. We can't talk about it today. We could tell you about it tomorrow. But all I want to do is open up every segment saying what we're doing. It's huge.
It's so big.
It's the biggest.
That's what she said.
It's pretty dang cool, man. Yeah. I think this is going to be awesome. Based on what I learned yesterday, it's going to be awesome. Really,
I'm so excited. You're so cryptic right now. Can I post about it on my vlog? Or do I have to wait till tomorrow?
You have to wait till tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay, so we'll tell you everything tomorrow, and I think it's going to be met with an enthusiastic story. For sure, an enthusiastic story tomorrow.
And the way the hallway looks right now, let's give some kudos to Tommy.
Well
Come
done.
On, Tommy.
Yeah, well done.
We can at least say what's set up in the hallway.
No, I don't think we can.
Why? It doesn't give anything away, does it?
I don't know.
We should probably play it safe.
Yeah, let's just play it safe.
I don't like playing it safe.
You already posted the hallway.
You did? Did you?
Are you serious?
You are. Did we not post the hallway?
I got Bird's back on this. There is nothing there that indicates anything.
It's just a picture. Yeah, I already posted it so we can talk about it.
No, you can't. I'm not talking about it.
It's just a beer pong table out there. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah. Really nice.
I'm not saying anything.
Shut up!
I will tell you all about it tomorrow.
With our near beer because there's corporate meetings and we weren't allowed to have real beer.
Yes, that is true.
That's what's happening.
Yes.
Near beer.
We had to get non-alcoholic beer because on the one day we wanted to do this specific segment, they're having like a huge corporate HR meeting.
Okay.
All the HR people at corporate are going to be here. So the PD of the station is like, you guys can't have any kind of alcohol. So
be honest, the first time you heard near beer, were you like, what in the white is this?
This was the first time. This moment.
When my dad, after he got his liver transplant, he couldn't drink alcohol. So I got very familiar with all the near beers.
Okay.
And there are some that taste better than others. Let's just say that.
Okay. Yeah. So all you need to know is that we're playing beerish pong.
Near beer pong. It's the NBP league.
All right. So you think you might be setting yourself up for failure here.
I do. I actually think that I have to risk significant injury in order to save my life. I think that's what's going on here. And this is all because, it really starts because of the history of my family, which I have spoken about on air. I have heart issues and valve issues run in my family. And my biological father, his twin brother, my uncle have both had to get the surgery. My grandfather has had to get the surgery. So as far back as I can go on that side of my family, there's had to be some surgery, some valve and some heart surgeries. And I'm trying to avoid that. And so my doctor told me the best way to avoid it was to stay active, exercise quite often, and change my diet.
A body in motion stays in motion.
Exactly. So I took it seriously-ish at first, and I did change my diet, but then my exercise took a hit, and then when I was exercising, my diet took a hit. I couldn't seem to find the combination that I needed in order to stay alive. And if that's not going to motivate you, I don't know what will.
Hey, so, it's a good thing we have near beer today rather than real beer.
Hey, there you go.
Just trying to protect your heart, Mo.
Near beer is going to keep me alive.
I shared this story on Instagram yesterday, and it's such a great saying that when you're healthy, you have 1,000 problems.
Mm-hmm.
When you're not healthy, you have one.
There you go. That's deep. And that's true. And so what I realized the last time I went to a checkup, I was somewhat doing everything that was asked of me. The exercising I had, the diet I had, but he somehow, because doctors be knowing, I don't know how they know. He was like, you're not getting enough cardio. You need more cardio. You got to get your heart going. You got to get your blood flow going. Like the cardio is, if not more important than the exercising, it's the same.
You call up your lady and be like, hey, doctor's orders, baby.
That's the only cardio I'm getting. That's about it.
Can I tell you the tweak I made when it came to cardio? Then I'm really interested to see how you're tweaking it.
Uh-huh.
But for me, it was a mental tweak that I don't look at my cardio days as cardio days anymore. Your heart is a muscle. So it's a heart day for me. Wow. I'm working out my heart. Mm-hmm. It's not getting on it. I'm not. When I looked at it like cardio, I absolutely hate it. But, you know, if I'm in the gym on a Monday and I'm doing chest and tries, Tuesday, I'm working out my heart and abs.
Mm. See, the problem for me is cardio is just boring. That's really all it is. I get on the treadmill. If I try to run outside, it's just so boring that I will do it for like 30 seconds and literally stop. Man, like, I'm over it.
I'm on the indoor bike, and is there anything more boring than that? Just cycling, and you're not going anywhere.
You got to do Abby's, like... Abby has the solution to this.
I am the cardio queen. We need to get you some kind of screen so you can watch it on your iPad or maybe your phone. Pull up Netflix and you have your treadmill show. And it's the only time you get to watch that show. Do the 12-3-30 method. This is what all the girlies do. You do a 12 incline on 3 miles per hour for 30 minutes. And you watch one show and you're going to get your heart rate up just enough to make a difference.
I did try that. And it did work for a little bit because I started watching Adolescence, which you have spoken about. And
that's what you're watching during cardio?
It was good, though. It was good. It caught me. The first episode was so good that I was like, oh, I'm going to save this for the treadmill. Like, this is how I can get my cardio.
Hey, if it works for you, it works for you.
It did until I realized it was 3 episodes. It was over. I didn't know there wasn't any more. So now I'm like, okay, what's the next show? What's the next move? And it's just the consistency isn't there. Mm-hmm. So I needed to find something where I'm like, okay, one, it'll be consistent, and two, people will depend on me. That's what I've learned. My dude was like, if you have something where people will depend on you, you'll show up. I know that about you.
True.
So then he's like, why don't you start playing basketball again? It's the perfect solution for you. And I'm thinking, why you say that? And he says, because they're in a men's league, they play twice a week, it'll force you to get your cardio back up, and then you'll have you'll be doing something that's fun for you. So I went to the park and I started shooting around, and I remembered, like, this is fun for me. I completely forgot how much I love playing basketball.
Dude, the nostalgia of when you find a hoop and a ball, and like if you played as a kid or if you played in college, but and you have some time off and then you go back and you pick up a ball, it's like the nostalgia and everything just rushes back over you, and it's such a great feeling.
It was
an
amazing feeling, and I literally was in the park for like 3 hours, and I was like, I think this is it. This is the solution. It started to come back. I know I got to go out there by myself for a little while to get my wind and stuff back before I go into this league. But literally, I call my dude to tell him how excited I am to have regained that feeling and how I was excited that he gave me this idea. And he tells me, well, you're going to have to start next season because I just tore my Achilles.
Oh, no.
In the league. He tore his Achilles the first game of the season.
See, that's the problem, because when you get older, your body gets older, but for some reason your head and mind doesn't. So you think you can still do the moves and the things you did when you were in high school or in college, and you can't. And that's how you end up with busted knees, busted ankles, busted Achilles.
Yep, that's exactly what happened to him. And now I'm afraid of if I go out there, because I'm like, at first I thought the sign was, okay, go play basketball again. Yeah. Perfect solution. Then he tears his Achilles, and I'm like, okay, well, is that the sign to not do it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if risking my Achilles is worth saving my life. That's the question I
think
have.
You're probably right. At least yours is basketball. Last night, I found myself in a conversation, and I had to sheepishly confess that I am too scared to play one sport that is very popular right now.
Pickleball?
I won't do it.
You shouldn't.
I'm not going to, man.
Look at me.
I'm not going to, man.
Do not play pickleball.
I have a friend that's an orthopedic surgeon, and he said, I thank Lord every single day for pickleball, because there are so many knee and ankle and hip injuries that I had to confess at this table, I am too scared to play pickleball. I will not pick up a racket.
And you are too competitive a person. You can't go out there and just have fun and be lackadaisical about it. You're going to go out there to win. And I don't do
too
not.
Much cutting. The knees will be just end up on the court, man. Right. At least yours is basketball.
Yeah, I know. It's looking like it's going to be a treadmill with Netflix, though.
The Bert Show.
Can this be right? You have a date?
Can you believe it?
Says it on the schedule, yeah.
I'm going on a date. I'm going on a date.
Hey, hey.
I'm going on a date with a real life man.
A man?
Can you imagine?
When is the last time that you went out on a date with a real life man?
I think it's been
over a year and a half. It might be closing in on 2 years.
Okay, well, and you had a lot of stuff going on.
Oh, yeah. I was busy. I was a little busy. not for anything specific. Just, you know, just kind of busy. I'm really, really excited. It's this Saturday, and I think it's going to go awful.
Okay.
Oh, no, it's not.
That's a good way to go into it. All right, so first of all, the origin story here.
Mm-hmm. So, met him on a dating app like 5 days ago, and we just had really good banter. I've been trying not to pen pal it on dating apps, like Abby kind of calls it, because that's kind of usually what I do. I just like park in the apps and we just talk for days and days and days, and then they ask me out and I'm like, oh God, now I have to go out with you. I just wanted to talk to you like on this app, no pressure. But we had really good banter. We really didn't talk about much. We talked about like movies and anime, but it was obvious that he was cool. He thought I was cool, and he asked me out for a coffee date because he noticed on my profile it says I don't drink, which I thought was so cute.
Very
and so
thoughtful.
Cool.
It's so considerate.
It's so considerate. It's like, you know, the baseline minimum requirement, but it's like so nice.
It's the safest of the dates, right? Coffee date?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's safe. I mean, because you're not going to get too tipsy on it. I mean, I know you don't drink anymore, but like it's so innocuous. It's like, oh, it's just a part of my Saturday. I'm just going to go get a coffee and a man is going to happen to be there.
Uh-huh. We're going to get an evening coffee. So Italian espresso. And I'm really excited, but I'm very, very nervous because I am putting a lot of pressure on this date, which I know is a big mistake, but I am, because first of all, it is the first date I've had in almost 2 years, but it's also the first date I've had after battling cancer. And that just feels like kind of a biggie. So it's not that I'm insecure about myself, because at this age, I honestly feel like I'm kind of a prize. Like, I mean, who doesn't want a bisexual alcoholic with like half a tongue who lives at home? Like, everybody wants that.
There's a niche in the market.
Everyone has a type.
But the one thing I am insecure about is what I just mentioned. And that is that I have 1/4 of my tongue missing because, as you guys know, I battled tongue cancer and I had surgery on my tongue where a portion of my wrist was created into a flap and reconstructed modern medicine, blah, 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 blah. I'm wondering, is it a good idea to give this man a heads up that I have a new tongue? And the only reason that I would, because honestly, I have a little bit of a speech impediment. I think if you didn't know me before, you really wouldn't notice. I mean, you guys let me on air, so I hope it's pretty good, like my speech at this point. The only reason I would ever tell him beforehand is because there's a tattoo on it. So to me, I think it's kind of noticeable when I talk. Like, if I turn to you, Kristen, and I'm like, my name is Rebecca Lancaster. Do you have siblings? I have siblings. I love coffee.
And I'm going to be looking and being like, does she have a piece of spinach stuck on her tongue?
Yeah, it's like you can see the dark blue of the ink on my tongue. And I'm just like, it's more for me that I'm insecure that he is going to look at it and be like, what is that? What's going on? Like, and be distracted by it than I am like embarrassed by it.
Okay, I don't want people to get caught up in the logistics, but you didn't have your tongue tattooed.
No, I didn't have my tongue tattooed. It's a portion of my wrist that had a tattoo that was taken and reconstructed into a flap that is now fused to my native tongue. It's like 1/4 piece of tissue, but it's like a little chunk that you can see.
Yeah. Crazy. Did you have to, I'm getting off topic here. Did you have to choose which wrist to use and you went with the tattooed one, or was that even an option?
I remember when I was having my like pre-op meetings with like my entire care team, my surgeon, Dr. Bedore, who by the way is the biggest angel ever, because sometimes surgeons are kind of crazy, but he is, I could cry just thinking about him. He's so amazing. He said that they choose the left arm because they choose whatever arm is not your dominant arm. Mm-hmm. Because honestly, like it's a quite a large invasive surgery on your arm. And my left arm was kind of like, it was out of function for months. Like I couldn't move it. I didn't have like good function of it. Now I have like pretty good flexibility. Now I'm like good. But yeah, it's pretty, honestly, the recovery for my arm, way worse than my tongue.
Wow.
100%. And they told me that would be the case. It was way more painful. The recovery was a lot worse, a lot more, you know, physical therapy. So that's why they choose to do the left.
I see.
Yeah.
It's a really interesting question here because it is a big, yet I would find a very interesting part mm-hmm. of your life. Mm-hmm. This is something that, you know, I don't know if it comes up in a first conversation or not, but it certainly would. I find it interesting.
Yeah, it
wouldn't turn me off.
It doesn't define you. It's not who you are, but it's a big part of what you went through these past couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I was trying to put myself in your shoes. Like if a guy was going to go out on a date with me and he looked different than his photos. Like I've been out with guys before where they're like, heads up, like I know I don't have a mustache in any of these photos, but now I have like a massive mustache. So like, just so you know who you're meeting at the bar. Mm-hmm. But the difference is, it's something he might not notice, and there's so much of a backstory to it that I would hate for you to feel like you have to tell this. Yeah. Not that it's this massive part of your life, but I mean, there's so much depth to it. I would hate for it to be squished down to a couple of paragraphs on Hinge or whatever, be like, hey, by the way, I have this thing on my tongue, blah, blah, blah. Like, I would almost find a way to just sort of like bring it up casually, but then kind of just smooth past it real quick in the date.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know how you would weave it in, but maybe saying something like, oh yeah, were you talking about an anecdote for your day and being like, and I have this thing on my tongue because I had tongue cancer, and then you just like move past it. You just talk about it like as if it's just a part of your life, which it is, but you don't make it this massive mountain you have to move past.
Yeah.
For me, it would be a feel thing. Like it's a part of my life. It's a part of my story. I'm proud of it. I wouldn't hide from it. At the same time, I wouldn't force it in. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like I would just kind of let it play out. And I think it's one of those things that if it comes up, you'll just kind of know, like, all right, this is the time to tell the story. And that would be it for me. I wouldn't force it, but at the same time, I wouldn't run from it. If it comes up, it comes up.
Oh yeah.
I wouldn't give him a heads up on Hinge though. Like I wouldn't message it. Mm-hmm. I would just wait for the date. And if it comes up in the date, it comes up in the date. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But I don't think you need to give him a heads up on something like that prior to the date.
Also, this guy's kind of artsy. You showed me the photo. He's going to be like, oh, it's like a Picasso. It's an abstract painting on your tongue.
Yeah. I just, you know, you want to be on your best foot forward on a date. I don't want to seem like I have like a ton of baggage. So I think I have been turned off now to warning him. Because honestly, it is something that I think is like really interesting about me. Mm-hmm. It's like unique. If I had a nickel for how many women I know with tattooed tongues, I'd have two, which is not a lot, but
weird.
So I'm going to say something really corny and romantic and philosophical here, right?
Go for it.
All right. So if this is the dude for you, none of that will matter.
Mm-hmm.
When you tell him that, this is the guy that is a, he will accept you for all of who you are, your arm, your tongue, everything you went through. And if he doesn't, it wasn't the right guy for you anyway.
That's true.
So go be you, man.
Yeah, I know you're right. Arm comes out second date.
Put your best tongue forward.
The Burt Show.
You see it online all the time. Grown men getting kicked out of their kids' basketball games, soccer games, baseball games. Why?
I always heard the stories. See people say it happens. I never thought I'd witness it in person. Mostly because I don't have kids, so I really don't have a reason to be at a kid's basketball game. But it only took for me to go to one to have to see somebody get kicked out.
See, oddly, the viral videos I see online, like 80-20%, it's the moms getting kicked out over the dads.
Really?
I can tell you, watching my kids' soccer games, that it's the moms that are more vocal than the dads, for sure.
Kaylee can confirm with his wife, Erin. Right? He just gave a thumbs up. Like, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. It happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting y'all say that, because in this instance, mom was kind of like the silent killer. Like, she was almost the one that was pointing out the issues, but he was the one that was vocalizing them loud enough for everyone to hear.
Okay.
So it's kind of interesting, because as soon as he walked in, it was one of those situations. I'm in New York. I'm there for my uncle's funeral, and one of my cousins realizes I'm in town, and he tells me he has a basketball game. He always wanted me to come to his games. I normally can't make it. I'm in town. I'm like, this is perfect. I'm pulling up. So I go to see his game. These kids are probably all 11, 12, going into like their high school years of playing basketball. So they're big enough to play the game, but I don't think they're at the point of where you would call every single whistle, because they're just not there yet.
Yeah.
At least you would think that that's an understanding amongst the parents who are watching this game. So this particular couple walks in, and I don't know what it was about Dad, but I just kind of knew. I was just like, that guy's going to be a problem. Okay. You can just feel it. And sure enough, he walks in. He's late, but he ends up taking the seat that's like right behind the bench where the coach and the kids are sitting. And it's the same team as that my cousin is on. So I'm like maybe a couple people down from him. So it starts off with like them as a couple going back and forth about how they don't like the way the game is being played. They don't like some of the calls that are being made. And I just thought it was funny because I never heard parents watch their kid play before. Mm-hmm. And it's very similar to when like I'm at home watching the Cowboys. It's like the same exact thing. So I'm listening to them go back and forth. And as the game progresses, it's a close game. It's an intense game. And it's like as they get closer to the game ending, Dad gets just a little louder. Like every single time, it's a little more.
Did they bring their own Yeti in? Were they taking sips?
They did, actually. Yes, they did. Yes, they did. They certainly did.
If you see a parent with a Yeti at a game, I guarantee there ain't no Gatorade in that
thing. Right. That makes more sense now.
Or if there is, it's spiked with something.
And the kids' number is 7. Their kids, so everything is 7. Come on, 7. Mm-hmm. Defense 7. Yep. Hustle 7, yep. Like the whole time. And it's just loud and loud. So towards the end of the game, there was a foul. And the person fouled his kid. He didn't like the call. Mm-hmm. So he was pretty loud and vocal about the fact that he didn't like the call. So at that point, the ref looks at him and goes, that's one.
Ooh.
So I guess that was the warning.
Yep. Uh-huh.
And he's like, that's one. So then the dad kind of looks like, oh, here we go, as if he knew what that was. Like he had been there before. So he sits down. I guess that was his one. I'm like, this dude is like, this is just like, he knows.
Dude, and the refs, you get to know, because you and I both played basketball in high school. You went on to play in college. So you know the ref. You get to know the refs.
For sure.
It's the same refs reffing your game time and time again. So you know them. The parents know them. They know the parents.
And you know their resume of past games too. So if one of those refs, you don't like them, that's spilling over into the game that you're currently at. You already got your eye on the guy.
No, but I'm doing this to have the refs back because you come in, you work these games all the time with these schools all the time. You'll see that one parent, and there's one parent that will leave a lasting mark on you, and you are prepared for every time you go to that game that parent is going to cause a scene and is going to be difficult and make your life a living you-know-what.
It goes both ways, yeah.
I think that's what was happening here because all of the parents were somewhat getting loud because the game was good and it was really intense. But this particular dad, it was like every time he went a little louder, the ref would look like he already knew this is the problem parent.
Yep.
So after he gives them the warning, they come down, a couple possessions go by.
He's like, Jerry,
knock it off, Jerry. So then like it's like maybe 20 seconds left and our team is down by one. And so we come down and my cousin actually makes a shot. We all go crazy, super excited. And then the other team comes down. They go this way. Now, the dad was right in his defense. The kid did travel. I mean, he took about 4 or 5 steps. That kid started in New York and ended up in Rhode Island. he traveled.
He had that adrenaline pumping, man.
Absolutely. But he ends up making the shot. Like, it was a wild fadeaway, almost falling out. And nobody cared about the travel because you didn't think he was going to make the shot. But when he makes the shot, it's like 2 seconds left and the ref didn't call it. So technically, our team should have won, but they didn't call the travel. So the other team went.
Yeah.
Dad loses it.
Oh, no.
Absolutely loses it. He jumps up. It's a effing foul. He's cursing all over the place. Make the call. You got to be kidding me. The ref starts blowing the whistle. He's not even focused on the game at this point. Let's call him Jerry. Jerry, you got to go. Kicks Dad out. The funniest part of it is after they kick Dad out, he's like at the door. You know how those doors have like those real small windows?
Uh-huh.
You just see Dad.
Just still trying to think.
The Burt Show.
On the hot goss from Hollywood. It's the Burt Show's entertainment bus.
Nikki Glaser says not only does she not mind her boyfriend getting with other women, she encourages it. Now, this is a take I've seen her have on a couple of different shows. The most recent one is with Gwyneth Paltrow on the Goop podcast.
Goop.
But the clip I'm about to play you is from Graham Benzinger's show, where she explains why she really enjoys knowing that her boyfriend is either getting with other women or planning to.
I like my boyfriend to at least entertain the idea of being with other women or be with them. I think it's about like, I want to be on HBO Max because people watch HBO Max. It's a cool network. I want my show on a place that is a cool, shiny, Like, I want things that other people want.
Would you be cool with him sleeping with somebody else right now?
Yeah. I mean, if you wanted to be with her, no. Then go be with her. Like, don't be with me. It'd be like if I was like cooked him a meal every night and someone else made him a meal. I wouldn't be like, another person cooked you. Like, that's how I look at sex. Whereas, like, he likes my cooking the best. And part of my cooking is dependent on him trying other things so that I can try them for him.
You don't think it would hurt you?
No. I know it wouldn't, if you want to be honest.
I wonder if this is a theory that she has, and in actuality, if it really happened, if she'd feel differently.
Well, here's the thing. So they've been on and off for the last 10 years. So it's safe to say that within those 10 years when they've been off, he's probably been with other women. And maybe that's how she knows that that's a kink for her, is that when they're broken up and he's posting photos with other women, or she knows that he's hooking up with some other girl, like, that's when she wants him back. And maybe that's why they've been on and off for so long.
I'm with Bird on this one. I think it sounds good in theory. I think it's something you tell yourself, and until, like, you actually in that situation, I don't know if you genuinely feel that way deep inside.
But the way she talks about it so confidently, it makes me feel like that is their relationship and that has happened. She's just not going as far as to divulge the details of what has happened, but that is the reality of their relationship. They have an open relationship.
I understand where she's coming from, but I also...
I don't.
No, I kind of get it, because I'm kind of the same way, where it's like you want other people to find your partner attractive. And so she compares her partner to HBO Max. Like, I want my show to be on HBO Max. I want everyone to watch HBO Max. The difference is everybody wants to watch HBO Max, but not everyone has the opportunity to get to be an actor on HBO Max. Like, there's a certain exclusivity to it for a reason.
I don't want to compete with any other man for my woman's attention, mostly because I know I will lose.
That's not true.
It seems exhausting.
I'm just taking the bye on this. I just get to the next round?
Just saying, I'm 5 for 5 for having lost when I was trying to compete and he found somebody else's attention more intriguing than mine. So I'm going to bow out to that one as well.
Yeah, I'm all set.
The Handmaid's Tale is one of those shows that I thought ended like 5 years ago, and when they posted that there's a season finale coming out, I was like, it's still going? Like, this show is still out now?
It's so good.
There's got to be some kind
of... all these years later.
Oh my God. This is one of those shows, and I've watched from the beginning. It got better with each season, and I mean... art imitates life. Life imitates art. But I cannot wait for this final season, because I do feel like we have one final crescendo to try to stick it to the patriarchy.
It is wild that Elizabeth Moss, who is the star in it,
so good.
She's a Scientologist. And the fact that she stars in that show is so meta in a way. It's very weird. But anyway, so she is talking about the season finale coming to an end. And of course, I feel like the go-to question that most interviewers ask actors and actresses, when a show that they've been on for a while comes to an end, they're like, when are you taking from set? When are you went from set? And so I guess Elizabeth Moss had custom underwear specifically designed for her to play this character, because they have very specific costumes. They have to wear like that red cape, that red robe and the bonnet. And she wanted to bring home her character's underwear for whatever reason. And she said on Jimmy Kimmel Live that she wasn't able to bring that home with her because somebody on staff submitted a written request for her underwear. She has no idea who it is.
Ew.
She doesn't want to know who it is.
Ew.
She says, I went to work with these people. I don't want to know who wants my underwear.
Strange.
That's disgusting.
And also the fact that when a show comes to an end, the entire staff can put in written requests for what they want from the set.
I didn't know that was a thing.
I didn't either. No.
But what's even grosser to me is, it's one thing for somebody to submit the request, to like put it in writing that like, I want Elizabeth Moss's underwear. Who's like confirmed the request? Like, who was like, I'm going to give it to this creepy guy who was a PA for the last 10 years on the show.
I feel like there are some things that are off limits that you can request in underwear that one of the stars wore. That would be an off... Like,
I don't think that's a real hot take.
I don't think it is either.
That's an ice cold take if I ever heard one.
But for some reason, somebody's not taking it.
For more stories, head to the Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
What could a server possibly do that would keep Cassie's mother up at night after having dinner and being served by this person?
So I went to New Orleans last week, which is, my family lives in Louisiana. It's where I grew up, to visit my mom and my sister and spend some time together. And, you know, it's not really, that doesn't warrant talking about, except for the fact that my mom has stage 4 breast cancer. She's been dealing with it on and off for a couple of years now, and things have progressed, and it's unfortunately spread throughout her body. So took the trip to make some memories. We got matching tattoos, and she can only do a limited amount of stuff every single day. It's very difficult for her to walk around. We have a wheelchair we can use if needed. She's got oxygen tanks, like, so sometimes she'll need to go have a breathing treatment because one of her lungs is filled with fluid as well. So she has like a stent in to drain it, all this stuff. So the activities that we chose were chosen very specifically. They were things that she wanted to do. They were things we could do together. And, you know, they were kind of, when you're looking at a city like New Orleans or when you go anywhere on vacation and you have to whittle down what you want to do, they're the things that are really special. So the matching tattoos, really special. We knew we wanted to go out for crawfish. So we did that. Very special because we grew up having crawfish boils in our neighborhood. We'd shut down the street. It's like a really fond memory to revisit. And one of those things, of course, like most people, she loves good food. So we booked a brunch at one of New Orleans' best restaurants. It's called Commander's Palace.
Oh, that's a big deal.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
That's the biggie.
Uh-huh. That's a biggie. And the food, out of this world. Like, I've been lucky enough to go to other fancy restaurants. Nothing compares. I mean, they have like Prosecco poached jumbo lump crab is like one of the ingredients. I'll post some of the dishes. They are insane. I had escargot, like just amazing food, what you would expect when you went to a fancy restaurant with a big price tag.
So this place is so fancy that when conventions used to be down there where the old school guys wanted to take out the younger guys and give them like a VIP experience, we all went to Commander's Palace because it was so special and none of us could afford it.
Yeah. So I have never been there, but I am a huge, huge Top Chef fan. And when a restaurant gets featured on Top Chef, you know it's a big deal. And they have spoken about Commander's Palace, did stuff. Mm-hmm. So I know just from watching Top Chef and hearing that name, that's a big dough restaurant.
And, you know, the brunches start at $50 a plate. Like, that's the kind of place we're talking about. Now that includes, like, a dessert. Like, it's just a great, worthwhile experience. It's in the Garden District. You know, everyone gets dressed up for brunch. Sometimes they'll do 25-cent martinis. Like, it's a New Orleans experience. And so we're really excited. My sister's made the reservation.
I'm sure you had to do that like forever in advance.
Yes, we did. We set it at 1 p.m. So my mom, she's kind of slow in the mornings now, which is fine, could get ready. So she's all dressed to the nines, which as someone who's really tired and has breathing problems and has stage 4 cancer, takes a lot of effort. But this was a special brunch. So we all get dressed up and we Uber on down there so we can all have some drinks. We get seated. We check in. We get seated promptly. We get taken into a quiet side room, which is lovely because we can actually have conversations. There are live jazz musicians that going from table to table, taking requests, playing for you. And it's magical. And so I'm ready to drink because I had not been drinking. Like, so I'm like, give me something. So I grab the waiter. I'm like, let's put in a drink order. Of course, I'm the only alcoholic who's ready to order. So I get my glass of wine, comes back and brings it while my mom and sister overlook the menu. I finished that glass of wine. And then we order another round of drinks from the underwaiter. So this is the type of restaurant where you have like 3 or 4 people serving you at a table, but there's one waiter and everyone else supports that waiter. Waiter still hasn't been by. So at this point, it's like we're sitting here for 15 minutes and we're like, I'm chill because I'm not going to make a big deal out of it. It's supposed to be because I know she'll pick up on that energy. We have drinks. It's fine. And so finally, we have to ask the underwaiter to go. I'm calling him an underwaiter. I don't know the right word for it, but to go get our waiter. And he comes over and just kind of a bad attitude on his face. And I'm like, no biggie. So we're polite. We order, you know, and then he just ghosts us again. And we're watching tables who are set after us have their orders taken. He's loud and gregarious and fun with them. They're getting their food and we're like twiddling our thumbs. And so I'm like calling over the underwaiter. I'm like, hey, can you go get our bros so we can, you know, order some stuff, some more. And he comes over, takes our orders without barely a word, walks off again. And I'm like, maybe he's having a bad day. Don't understand why he's being like that with us and not with these other tables. But they're getting bread service. They're getting everything. And we're just left out in the cold. And it's the same dude for all these tables. And I'm like, it's Saturday. It's a beautiful day in New Orleans. He has got to be busy. The fact that he has a young waiter working with him, I bet they're understaffed and this dude is training this dude. Let's cut him some slack. But then you're seeing the treatment that all the other tables are getting. And I'm starting to get annoyed, but I'm keeping it down. But my mom is starting to get annoyed now, which it takes a lot to get her annoyed. But it's rude. And she's very British. So manners are, if there's a reason for something happening, she's chill. But if she can't see the reason, then she starts to get annoyed. So finally, we're eating throughout the whole meal. He's MIA. We have to ask some random person, a busboy, for coffees because we can't get our waiter to come look at us at all. And so she comes back, and then the manager of the whole restaurant brings another order of coffees. And we're like, what is happening? We have not complained once. Keep that in mind. Not complained, not said anything to like, oh, we can't get our waiter. To the busboy or to the underwaiter. And so we're like, this is so bizarre. Did we do something to offend him? Like, sister's literally going like, did I date one of his friends? And like, is that why he hates us? And then finally it came to a head because I think we were willing to let it go when they served the dessert. Now, New Orleans is famous for bread pudding, and Commander's Palace has a bread pudding souffle with a whiskey cream sauce.
Oh my God, it sounds so good. It's
delicious. My mom ordered it. They serve it. You have to order it early. They serve it tableside. And then they like put the cream sauce on top. He dumps the cream sauce on top, throws the bowl down. It tips off the plate that he throws it down on, and he walks off. And what? We were like, what? And I wish I had said something, but I did not want to ruin the brunch. So I didn't, because I wanted to go after him and be like, did we do something to offend you? Like, what is his attitude? But I also didn't want my food statin. So I'm sure it was, but I left it. And I was like, I was ready to write it off of just some dude having a bad day. Maybe he overheard us saying, like, would be nice to get bread service. Like, maybe, because, you know, when you snark within each other, like, why are all those other tables getting bread and we're not? I'm like, maybe he overheard us. And we're literally going through, is it because we asked for the wine list and didn't order a bottle of wine? So his tips reduced, even though we all ordered a ton of drinks individually. And to the point where my mom could not stop thinking about it. And, you know, she's retired. And I think sometimes when that's the highlight of your weekend trip, like you can't let go when something ruins it.
You're going to ruminate on it.
Yeah. Really? Like, go.
Yeah.
Because my sister and I, like, whatever, move on. But she's ruminating and it kept her up that night. Huh? And she's like, I cannot understand why this waiter, when we drop so much money at one of the restaurant's best cities, it's supposed to be like, you're buying the service as well when you go somewhere like that. And he ruined it. He
so
just
bizarre.
Threw the bowl basically at her. And that's what it was. It wasn't not getting our order taken. It was that one thing that really like set us off. And so I'm sitting here and I'm like, she's debating back and forth to write a letter to the manager of Commander's Palace and be like, yo, this happened. We're really disappointed. We've come here before. This is not what we expect, you know? And I'm just wondering, like, if this were you guys, because I like to try, people will annoy me and they'll piss me off, but I try and give people the benefit of the doubt. I'm like, maybe you're having a bad day. Maybe something's wrong. A letter like this, I feel like, could get you fired.
Just because you're having a bad day doesn't mean you get to take it out on every single other person. I do think there is importance of giving people the benefit of the doubt. And I know I'm speaking out both sides of my mouth, but bear with me for a second. So, you know, you never know what somebody else is going through, right? Well, he doesn't know what your table's going through. Mm. He doesn't know what your mom's dealing with. He doesn't know how special this is for you guys to come here and the efforts that were put into getting there, into having a lovely brunch. And when you are in the service industry, you have to put your S aside and you have to show up to that table with a smile and give them the best service. And I don't think you're exaggerating anything. If you say he threw the bowl down,
I
believe you. And at that point, and this is something I would do now, wouldn't have done when I was younger because, you know, I was worried about what people think and I'm getting much, much, much better about not caring what people think. I would have been like, what's your problem? And I would have spoken to the manager right then and there.
Yeah. And I think we should have done that. And I think we were just holding ourselves back because we didn't want to mar the experience. But then I got thinking.
He already marred the experience.
And you're right. You're right.
And but it's business. I mean, he is responsible for his own actions. So if you report that to the manager and he gets fired, that's really not on you.
Okay, cool. Well, the letter's already been sent.
So. Yeah, I would have definitely said so.
And next time, go to Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah, no joke.
Hey, The Bird Show.
Got a follow-up for you guys here in a couple of seconds on the mom that found out that her daughter's boyfriend was cheating on her. And what has happened since? We got an update for you in just a couple of seconds. But one last time, if you're looking at videos today of the Burt Show in studio, you are going to notice yet again, Kristen has a billboard on her forehead.
And lucky you, ADC Builds. You can go to ADCBuilds.com because this will be the only time this week that I will be featuring a logo with full makeup on.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We got something special going on after the show.
Something real special. Real special.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Real special.
I literally have makeup on from my eyebrows down. I'll figure out the forehead. Ooh, forehead.
That was your college nickname.
No.
That's what it's been this week.
I mean, we are whoring out your forehead.
Technically.
Exactly. It's what I've been doing all week long on my forehead for the kids. I've been doing it for Bert's Big Adventure. So Gwen and Eli at ADC Builds, and that stands for Ajayi Design and Construction. They donated $1,000 to Bert's Big Adventure so I could plaster their logo on my forehead. And so all the YouTube videos, Facebook videos, photos on social media, you name it, they are there. So really quick, head and shoulders above the rest. Unlike that DIY job, ADC Builds. Exclusive for the Burt Show listeners. Mention the Burt Show and get a free 3D remodel rendering for any room of your choice. ADCBuilds.com.
All right, we call it a follow-up Thursday for a reason. You guys hit us up on email and you're like, Burt Show, hey, you forgot to tell us what about blankety blank. So we do the homework for you guys and we give you closure today on follow-up Thursday. And this one had to do with the War of the Roses.
So this was back in January when Erica was concerned about her 20-year-old daughter's relationship with a 31-year-old boyfriend for a few different reasons. He was controlling, he was financially unstable, and always made excuses about his whereabouts. Erica knew something was up when her daughter found a fancy dinner receipt for two that wasn't with her. So we helped Erica with our War of the Roses. The boyfriend took the bait and picked a sweetheart surprise bouquet to be sent to a woman named Lainey with a note that read, "Sorry we aren't able to see each other this weekend. Let these keep you company until we can." Why couldn't he see Lainey that weekend? Well, because he was supposed to be going to a family christening with Erica's daughter. We suggested Erica dig a little deeper to find out who this Lainey woman was before presenting the info to her daughter. So what has happened since?
Here's the update. It says, "Hi, Burt Show team. I wanted to update you on what happened after your War of the Roses segment. Things didn't go as dramatically as I'd hoped, but there was some progress. After the christening, I did exactly what you suggested and casually asked about Lainey. Turns out she is not a family member or his grandmother like we hoped. When I brought her up, he got extremely nervous and started stammering. My daughter was right there, and when she pressed him about who Lainey was, he couldn't give a straight answer. Eventually, he admitted Lainey is a quote-unquote work friend, but his reaction made it clear that's not the whole truth. My daughter chose to believe him, at least for now. I'm disappointed, but I know I can't force her to see the truth. She's 20 and has to make her own mistakes. I'm going to keep an eye on the situation and be there for her when she needs me. Thanks for helping me confirm my suspicions, even if it didn't lead to an immediate resolution."
All right, so not much to see there.
No.
Yeah.
Gotta let it play out.
Yeah, kinda, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Missy Mikey, our producer in studio, so they are forcing a dog upon you, huh?
I think I lost the battle, but I also lost the war.
You mean by they, you mean she, his girlfriend?
Yeah, that's correct. So a couple months ago, I moved into an apartment with my girlfriend, and I talked to you guys, and I said, she is dying to get a dog. I'm kind of against it. All of your feedback was, do not get a dog.
You guys are moving in with each other for the first time. It's a new part of town. There's enough stress to figure out the boundaries that go into it. Who's going to pay this bill? Who's going to pay? The last thing you need is another responsibility.
You're preaching to the choir. So some dummy over there where she works offers her a dog. Just like that. You just get offered a dog. Could fate be any meaner? This dog, now it's... This is not just any old puppy. This is an 8-year-old dog. Any reactions there?
Yeah, no, that's great. For 8-year-olds? I think that plays in your favor.
It's older, yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Well, it does and it doesn't. I'm all about older dogs getting adopted. I think those are the most beautiful adoption stories. But that 8-year-old, the older they get, the more they need to go out.
True.
And so it's a lot of responsibility. It's a lot of responsibility to have a puppy, and it's a lot of responsibility to have an older dog.
Yeah, well, and you're kind of pasty. You need to go out a lot also. So this is a good match right
here. Well, it's feeling like marrying a 75-year-old woman. Like, you don't, she's had, the dog's already had a whole past. Right. And
I think this plays in your favor because puppies are so much work,
so hard.
Much stress that if you're dealing with a 7-year-old dog or a puppy, I'll take the 7 or 8-year-old every day.
That's a fact. 1 point for the dog is allegedly it was a special needs therapy dog at one point.
They're so smart.
Okay. That's great.
Yeah. I actually can't remember what kind of breed of dog it is. Its name
is
Roger.
It has come to the right place.
Yeah, I know, right?
Wait, did you
say that? Everyone's already said that before.
The universe is clearly putting this together for no reason.
They're incredibly, incredibly loyal and smart. They're like, they're little doggy geniuses.
Dude, this has worked out perfectly. If you have to have a dog, this is the best case scenario.
I live on the 5th floor. There's no grass around me. It's going to be a nightmare. Stop being positive about this.
my bad. It's the Burt Show.
Hey, the Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.